Ephesians chapter 1, we'll be reading the first 14 verses of this chapter. Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. Here we end the reading of God's Holy Word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 27 and 28 in the back section of the hymnal. This is Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 21. And this morning we will read question 54 and 55. Next time, Lord willing, we will deal with question 56. I will read the question. You may respond with the answer. From page 27, question 54. What do you believe concerning the Holy Catholic Church? Question 55. What do you understand by the communion of saints? Well, we have together been talking about the basics of our Christian faith. What is it that we believe as Christians? And this morning we come to our confession about the church. We confess, as we did just a few minutes ago, we confess a holy Catholic church. Now, I trust you know that we do not confess a Roman Catholic church. That is a different thing. The holy Catholic church, children, is the church of all times and in all places. And we believe there is one holy Catholic church. Now, we confess that every Lord's Day. I don't know if you've thought about that. We confess there is one holy Catholic church. Yesterday, I took my parents for a drive around town, and in the course of our drive, we went past 12 different churches. 12 churches in a town the size of Sioux Center. Now imagine going to Sioux City or Sioux Falls or Chicago or New York, and we confess there is one church? One holy Catholic church? What do we mean by that confession? What do we mean when we say that we are a member of the Holy Catholic Church? This morning, the Zomers became members of this local congregation. Do we mean that today they joined the Holy Catholic Church? Do we believe that this congregation is the extent of that church? Or perhaps that churches in our federation are the extent of that church? Or perhaps that churches in the Reformed persuasion are the extent? What is our confession? What do we mean when we confess that there is one holy Catholic Church and that we are members of that one church? We're not talking today about membership in a local congregation. That is certainly an expression of the Holy Catholic Church, a local expression of that. But today when we talk about membership in the church, we are talking about those who are members of Christ. Those who are members of that grand and glorious number of people known to God, whom He has called into a relationship with Him. That is our confession. That church may express itself differently in different places and at different times. But our confession is one holy Catholic church. That's the church that Paul speaks about in Ephesians chapter 1. Those who are in Christ. That's what it means to be a member of the church, that you are in Christ. And we will see that the character of that church is that they are a chosen people. They are a people who are chosen by God. They are a people who are chosen for life. They are a people who are chosen for glory. We confess one holy Catholic Church, a chosen community. This church are those whom God has chosen. Verse 4. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. The church is a community chosen by God. The church is a divine institution, not man-made. There are institutions which are man-made, institutions for education, institutions for social good, institutions for philanthropic work. But the church is not a man-made institution, something man decided to bring together. That Holy Catholic Church is a God-ordained institution, and as such, chosen by Him. Entrance in that Holy Catholic Church is not by our own volition. It is by God's call. It is by God's choosing. Even as He chose us in Him. Verse 5. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. Entrance into the Holy Catholic Church is up to God. He is the one that chose us for membership in that great congregation, and as such, He is the one who gets all the credit, all the praise, all the glory. We don't highlight ourselves that we had the good sense to choose to join that Holy Catholic Church. But God gets the praise. He is the one that chose us. He is the one that called us. He is the one that drew us in. It is a community chosen by God. Oh, to be sure, we are called to respond to the gospel. We are called to respond in faith and repentance. But never forget, the call comes from God, and the glory goes to God. He is the one, our confession says, that gathers for Himself a community chosen for eternal life and united in true faith. God Himself gathers His people. and brings them in. How does he do that, children? What does God use to gather his people? Well, he uses his Spirit and he uses his Word. And we've talked about that somewhat in our evening services, is the use of the Word of God to gather his people. Last Sunday, I had the privilege of talking with our youth group about evangelism. And we talked about a number of things dealing with evangelism, about being able to share our faith and things like that. But it finally came down to, if you're going to evangelize, if you're going to tell someone the good news, you have to bring them to the Word of God. That is the tool that God uses to change hearts and minds. We can befriend them, we can show them Christ's love, but ultimately the evangelism, the good news, comes from God's Word. And so, too, in our own worship services. Most of our time is spent studying the Word of God. It is the tool of the Holy Spirit that will change hearts and lives. Now, we could sing wonderful songs and do a whole lot of other things, but this is the tool of the Spirit. And this is why, children, most of our time is spent studying God's Word. And that is what most of the minister's time is spent on. He spends most of his week laboring in the Word to bring it to God's people. Because that is the tool of the Holy Spirit. The glory of the gospel. And it is that same gospel that goes out today. That we, left to ourselves, are a fallen, sinful people. But for everyone who turns from their sin, for everyone who turns to Christ, there is salvation. The call of God goes out again today. And if you are here not knowing that God, then today is the day of salvation. Confess your sin. Turn to Him. And know the glories of being called by God into His fellowship, chosen by Him, brought into that one holy Catholic Church, that community of believers, that community of those who are called and chosen. The church is not a man-made institution, not a civic group. It is those who have been called by God Himself into a relationship with Him. And that call to those who are chosen, is that they are chosen for life. When does God call us into that holy Catholic Church? In our tradition, we have the practice of, at some point in our lives, making a profession of faith. When we personally embrace the truths we have been taught, is that when we are chosen by God? It's before that. We, in our understanding of Scripture, rightly baptize believers and their children. Is it at baptism that we are chosen by God? It's before that. Is it when we are born of Christian parents that at this point, at our birth already, God calls us and chooses us? It's even before that. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. God chose His people in Him before creation, before the foundation of the world. The fact that you are sitting here and are a member of the Holy Catholic Church is not an afterthought by God. That He lets you live your life for a while and, oh yeah, maybe I'll choose to save them too. We're not an afterthought. But before we were born, before the world began, God chose us in Christ. What a humbling thought that God would choose us even before He created us, even before the world was founded. He chose us in Jesus Christ. We are not a second thought to God. Oh, true, He would bring us to faith in time, but He chose us in Him before time. We are a people who are chosen for life. And chosen not only before the foundations of the world, but on into eternity. We read in verse 10, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven, things on earth, looking forward to the consummation. We are chosen forever. God gathers His people, and He preserves His people. God doesn't change His mind about those who are His. God doesn't change His mind about those whom He has called. If He has called us in Jesus Christ and we embrace Him by faith, that is an eternal calling. It is one that will never fail. And what a comfort that is to us. Sometimes we go through times in our life when we recognize we are not living like God calls us. When we recognize we're not living in conformity to His holy will. And maybe we see that, and perhaps a good friend points that out to us, and we are called to confess our sins, and our hearts just don't want to do that. And we may even begin to wonder, look, if I feel this way, if I want to hold my sins so dearly, am I even really a believer? Am I even really a member of that church? Perhaps my own sinfulness is driving me away. We are chosen for eternity. God preserves us. It is on that blessed promise that we put our hope. Not in self-examination of my own life. When I look at my own life, I see how many times I don't live as a child of God. But I have the assurance of salvation. The assurance I belong to Him. I believe that the Son of God, through His Spirit and Word, out of the entire human race, from the beginning of the world to its end, gathers, protects, and preserves for Himself a community chosen for eternal life and united in true faith. United in the confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. God preserves His people. God strengthens His people as we live out throughout our lives. He strengthens us through the preaching of His Word. He strengthens us as the Spirit speaks to us through that Word, encouraging us in our lives. God preserves us through the use of the sacraments. He preserves us through these means of grace, that as we come to the Lord's table, on occasion we might take and eat the body and blood of Christ and be strengthened in that way. That whenever we see a baptism before us, we are reminded of our own baptism and we are strengthened in our faith. God has called us. God has chosen us. And God will never forsake us. Our confession is, and of this community, I am and always will be a living member. I am and always will be a living member. What a great assurance. God does not let His children go. God holds on to you. He says, I know my sheep, they are my own, and nothing can snatch them out of my hand. A chosen community. Chosen by God. Chosen for life. And chosen for glory. That is, chosen for God's glory. Chosen to bring praise to Him. That theme finds its way throughout Ephesians chapter 1. Again, verse 4, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him, in love He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace. And again, verse 12, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. And finally, verse 14, all of this we acquire possessions of it to the praise of His glory. We are chosen that God might get the glory. God receives the glory when we see that He chooses the weak and sinful of the world. If God only chose those who were truly saintly, maybe children, you think of those who are like saints that you know. Maybe you think of your grandparents as saints. Maybe you think of the elders of the church as those who are saints. If God only chose those who were really holy already, we'd say, well, that's a good thing, but they might take some credit. Some glory might go to them. But God doesn't just choose those who are trying to live holy lives. He chooses those who are weak, who are frail, who are sinful. Paul will say elsewhere, and God demonstrates His own love to us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It is not that God chooses the best and the brightest. He chooses the weak, the frail, the downcast, the sinner, that the glory might all go to Him. It is not what we have done. It is not our personal holiness. It is not our experience. It is God's grace. And so to Him belongs all the glory. We were chosen in Him for the glory of His grace. And we were chosen to bring glory to Him. To bring glory to Him in the way that we live. We were chosen, Paul says, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. We were chosen that we might live in a particular way. That we might pursue holiness. We might pursue the path of blamelessness. God calls us to perfection. He calls us to live perfect, holy, blameless lives. And it's easy for us to say, well, we'll never be perfect. We'll never attain it. So why even try? We try because that's God's call and what we were called to. We were called to bring Him glory. We were called to live lives that are pleasing to Him. And in doing that, our calling is to serve God and to serve those around us. Our confession about the communion of saints, the second part of that confession, that each member should consider it his duty to use his gifts readily and cheerfully for the service and the enrichment of the other members. We are called to bring God glory by serving each other, by serving the others in this holy Catholic Church, readily, cheerfully. Using our gifts and talents readily, cheerfully. Sometimes we use our talents and we do it, but it's grudgingly. It's without any joy. Sometimes our kids obey us that way. You know, you tell your kids, make sure you pick up all your toys before you come down for supper. And maybe you have to tell them two or three times. And then you find out, I told you, pick up all those toys. And so they take the toy and they put it in the toy box. And they take the toy and they put it in the toy box. That's hardly readily and cheerfully, right, children? Not really readily and cheerfully. Sometimes mom and dad are the same way. With regard to our call to serve God. We are to readily, cheerfully serve others and serve our God, for their enrichment, for their blessing, because God has blessed us. We are a community chosen to bring God glory. That's the confession that we make. That's the confession about the Holy Catholic Church. Not that we are the extent of that, but that there is a people whom God has called from every language and tribe and people and nation, out of the whole human race, a people chosen by Him before the foundations of the world, a people chosen for life, a people chosen to give Him glory. And for everyone who has responded to the word of the gospel, that is your inheritance also. In Him we have obtained an inheritance,
having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. For all of you who by faith have embraced that glorious confession, these things are true of you. God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He has chosen you. He has called you. Now live like those who belong to that holy Catholic Church. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank you for your word, a word that reminds us of what you are doing in the lives of your people. We confess our view can often get so small. We see the four walls around us and perhaps think this is the extent of your church. We see our own federation and perhaps think this is all in the kingdom of God. But you've reminded us it is those who are in Christ who are members of that church. Thank you, O God, for the call, for the glorious call of salvation, and for the gift of faith in our hearts to respond to that call. May we truly live those lives which seek to be holy and blameless. Oh, we acknowledge we will fall short again and again, but may it be our desire, O God, to live for you, to walk with you in a way that brings you glory. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.